Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Dateline Moscow. A deal allowing the safe Black Sea export of Ukraine's grain for the past year expired within these last hours after Russia quit and warned it could not guarantee the safety of ships in a move that the United Nations said would, quote, strike a blow to people in need everywhere. I welcome Katrina Vandenhoevel, the editorial director and publisher of The Nation magazine, much experienced in Russian culture and Russian ways. This in particular strikes me as completely outside of an understanding of what war making is. This is making war on people with starvation in mind. Katrina, a very good evening to you. I don't seek to explain it. I'm just dealing with it. What do we do now?
Well, first of all, the humanitarian crisis is grim. There's famine in Somalia. There are other ways this deal will hasten and worsen an already crisis situation. The deal has come within days of expiring twice before, in November and in March. And each time Russia agreed to extend it, but the March extension came with a warning that Moscow said the renewed deal would expire in 60 days if the UN failed to resolve, quote, systemic problems around Russia's agricultural exports. Like Ukraine, it is a major exporter, and its demands have dealt to some extent with sanctions. They're trying to lift certain sanctions, but it's also quite, it's not opaque, but it's complex. They want to reconnect Russia's agricultural bank to the SWIFT payment system. They want to lift restrictions on maritime insurance and on the supply of spare parts used in the agricultural machinery, and sanctions against fertilizer companies. I mean, there are quite a few demands. Restore an ammonia pipeline that crosses Ukraine. So I think it's, you know, Russian agriculture has seen some benefits from sanctions, which I don't think is fully reported here because competitive Western products have been largely excluded from Russia's domestic market. But, you know, they're eager to begin exporting. And I think they're using and weaponizing food. They do, in some reports, say this is paused. I do think Erdogan has a great investment in trying to negotiate this. It may not be over, but it may be, and it's ugly, grim, collateral damage of a war that shouldn't be have been waged.
The war is not improving for either side. We have the reports of drone ships attacking the Kerch Bridge and at least one of the vehicle lanes down. The railroad is said to be working, but that is a lifeline for the Crimean defense. We also have reports of the Ukrainians driving straight up the middle, Route 1. They're looking to cut off the Sea of Azov highway, which is the only other route into the Crimea. Russia is not in a good position, not in a bad position. In other words, we've got a slog going on.
It's a slog, John. You know that. And I was on a call this morning. It was a Zoom webinar about, it was called How Does It End? And it was with Sam Sharap of RAND. It was with a former Ukrainian defense minister, Andrei Zagorodnik, and Fiona Hill, your listeners may remember. He spoke, Zagorodnik, about how we need now to think about the fight underway in a different way, that it's not about land seized. It's not about fixing on the percentage of territory taken, but about the larger situation. I wasn't fully clear, but that's what his new framework seems to be, or Ukraine's framework. I think the weapons, first of all, the cluster munitions were in some ways an ugly last resort because of other weapons not available, not even in the pipeline. I don't know if Biden agreed to send those army missile attack weapons, because Jake Sullivan a year ago said if the U.S. did, it would be beginning World War III. But the war of attrition, the war of slog, the mud, even in the, it may not be mud, but it's just a brutal, brutal war, as anyone who looks even for a few minutes a day at the news can see. The bridge, the attack on the bridge, the Kerch Bridge connecting southern Ukraine to Crimea, it's more than just an attack on killing two people and wounding a 14-year-old. It's an attack on Putin's power, because this was his bridge. I mean, he actually went in May 2018 to open the bridge, giving him this propaganda victory. And, you know, we talk about his cronies and the business moguls like Prigozhin, the army mogul. Two or three of his moguls, like this man Rotenberg, former judo partner, and others made a lot of money on this bridge. But the key thing right now is, you know, they're calling it active terrorism. The Russians are. And they're also saying it did not link to the grain deal. Who knows? But this is very dangerous, because just politically, it's his kind of baby, which is weird to say. But it's also, I think, Russians beginning to grow a little sour, as they have about Crimea, because the bridges and the roads, other things in the rest of the country are kind of run down and not in good form. And the money pouring in into Crimea, even before this war, was something that a lot of Russians, though there's nationalist pride, didn't support.
The story now turns to NATO following the summit. The significance of Finland and potentially Sweden joining is said to mean that the Baltic Sea is now a NATO lake. Is that a provocation for after Ukraine? Is NATO building up a reason for Putin to maintain in a war fever, or someone in the Kremlin to do it?
John, the whole issue of NATO is so driven by provocation at this point. I mean, in 2008, when Ukraine and Georgia were offered access to NATO down some path. But I think the NATO summit showed how Ukraine is off a long way, whether they call it a council or accession. The United States, which controls NATO through its funding and has lost the opportunity, in my mind, to offer Europe a way to define a new security architecture. It's the Bigfoot again, the indispensable nation, the United States. I think the summit was something that Zelensky, in a free moment, characterized as absurd, and I forget the other word, and the United States was very angry, but it was real in a way. It's as if Ukraine needs to keep fighting the war if they're ever going to be considered for NATO, which has as its principles, can't be contravened, the ethnic territorial integrity of the country, which is in battle. I just want, if I could end, I just found the other day going through files, my late husband's, but exactly 22 years ago, July 19, this is Putin in the Washington Post. The simplest solution is to dissolve NATO, but this is not on the agenda. The second possible option is to include Russia in NATO. The third option is the creation of a different new organization which would set itself these tasks and which would incorporate the Russian Federation. Given the demise of the Soviet Union and Warsaw Pact, quote, we don't see why it's needed anymore. Well, it's needed. It's not, I don't know if it's needed today. I would argue that a demilitarized security architecture, but I'd be considered heretical. I think Olof Palme, who was the great prime minister of Sweden, is probably weeping somewhere. But that NATO has now become the definer of security. It's with us. We have to understand it. But I think this war is a very tough slog. And the idea of how will it end is now a preoccupation of some key people. But it's not certainly at the forefront of this moment as we see these two events, the bridge and the grain initiative, canceled in the last hours.
Katrina Vandenhove of The Nation. I'm John Beck.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early! Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.